Well, girl, who's got two thumbs and was in the ER twice this week?
Oh my God. Well, it wasn't me. Girl, what's happening? Do I need to come back up there like stat?
You might, but you know who I'm doing better than? Gambit.
Fuck, Lisa, it's too soon. Too
Guys,
fucking soon.
we gotta start with a joke. I mean, we gotta start with a joke. And don't, guys, Remy fans, don't even get on my ass because like this episode felt like a damn Sophie's Choice to me because Gambit has always been one of my favorites. And the fact that I had to gain Kurt to lose to I had to lose Remy to gain Kurt. Oh my
Damn.
God, I feel
Damn.
like Meryl Streep in Sophie's Choice. But this is horrible. I don't know what to do with my life anymore. Like there were so many other people we could have lost, but we lost Remy. And we still have a Scott Summers. I don't and a Beast. I don't know what to say about that.
Damn. Move. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So yeah, anyway, welcome back, everybody. Simply amazing, the Nightcrawler podcast, where we finally have Nightcrawler to talk about, guys. Yay! Celebrate!
Oh, the miracle. It took 5 episodes. 5 episodes.
Yeah, but ladies and gentlemen, as we've already discussed, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away in the most painful,
God.
painful way. I mean, I'm still recovering. I will start. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to start crying during this episode. I'm already feeling it. This was a roller coaster this episode. Let me tell you. Oh my God. Like, and here's the thing. I've been in the ER twice, so like I'm also really mentally unstable this week, so that's probably why I'm like so emotional. So, yeah, but
All
anyway,
the
I'm Lisa.
disclaimers.
Yeah, all the disclaimers. I'm Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne, and I have here the lovely, gorgeous. She is currently I can tell she's got some jaw issues, but she's powering through for us. She's powering through
Yeah,
for the Banff Nation.
slowly getting used to me just like moving my jaw in the weirdest fucking ways
Well,
and not.
after I proposed for the fourth time and you turned me down, I figured you weren't flirting with me. So,
Was no proposal. There was just, it was just sex, guys. There was no proposal ever. Okay, she's lying to you.
listen, guys, in this relationship, I'm the Remy. Okay, I'm the Remy. She's the Rogue, and she's got some fucking Magneto over on the side that's better than me. But you know what?
No, I mean, listen, that would be accurate if we did actually have a thing going on today. That would be more accurate.
That is true. That would be accurate. But the fact of the matter is, I'm just going to own it. I'm going to be Remy because he fucking killed it this episode. But let's get into it. Let's talk about the episode.
Yes.
And let's, you know, there's a the thing is it's kind of funny. Like, we were planning on covering the other two episodes, but I got to be honest, I don't see us having any time. So, like, here's a real quick Maddie Pryor
Yeah.
happened, Inferno happened, and then Mojo happened.
And
And
it was
then,
iconic. It was.
yeah,
I enjoyed
iconic.
it. The third phenomenal.
Birdo kissed Jubilee. It was cute. Old Lady Jubilee was adorable. Done, dusted, moving on. This is the episode we need to talk about for many
Oh
reasons,
wait,
mostly because.
Storm and Forge. Don't forget the Storm and Forge part.
Oh, yeah, Storm
Forge
and
was
Forge.
like,
We're
I
going to
didn't
get
mean to
past
do
that.
it, but I did it. And then Storm was like, are you fucking kidding me, bitch? And then it ended on cliffhanger, so.
I mean, we're going to go back to that, obviously. We'll see them again. So, yeah, we'll be revisiting with Storm and
Yeah.
Forge. But we got to talk about our boy who finally shows up
We do.
five episodes in and honestly is. I'm going to say 99% perfect. I have one issue with him. One. But what do you
What's
think,
the issue?
Lauren?
All I've
What?
got the issue is.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say first before I tell you my issue.
I thought he was really great. And this is I know I am like the 0.01% of Nightcrawler fans that think this, but I'm still not a fan of his voice. I don't think it's not the voice actor's fault. The voice actor's doing what he did before, he's doing it again. It's very great work. I don't that's when I think of Kurt, I don't think of his voice like that. I never have, and I'm not sure I will, but I'm starting to just accept it as a fan because the way his voice sounds doesn't change who he is, right? And I think at the end of the day, that's what really matters to me as a fan because I agree with you. Like that's the most Kurt we've seen, even to the point of like doing more of what I've wanted to see with him, which is yes, of course, he does have his religion. It is very important to him. We can't get away from that anymore in terms of not that I want to get away from him having his religion and being important, but it kind of being his whole character is what I want to get away from. And it's very hard to do that with how ingrained it's been the last few decades. So I was very happily pleased to still see some nice kind of positive twists on it that I think fit him in terms of like yes, he is still Catholic and he still believes in religion, and he still had lines of telling Gambit at one point, there is no love without sin. Love is measured, you know, by what we forgive, and stuff like that, you know, in the wrong context, it'd be taken bad. But I think that's with any religious text or scripture or wording, right? But I think the way he said it, and obviously the way I believe he meant it, was perfect. It was fantastic having that other perspective on it, rather than just, you know, the old school, you know, punish that's very entrenched in Christianity, but especially Catholicism, you know, repent and all this stuff. He's just like, nope, you have it, you forgive, you move on, and that's that. And that's more positive side of, you know, I think of taking Catholicism, and that really just fits Kurt. That's who Kurt is. He has that balance between, yes, this is good, yes, this is bad, here's where reality is. And he was just fun. His animation was great, the teleporting in, the bamfing in and out, his smiles, his face.
They definitely played up like the ADHD of his bamfing. It was like, oh, okay, yes. Yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. And I'm looking at, I have the X-Men 97 figure for him. It's right across from me right now. I'm looking at it, and the only thing I wish was different about the figure is I wish his face looked just like the, like his face in the animation, because the face on the figure doesn't look like the animated face. It's not a bad face. It's well done still. But I'm like, I want the cute, like, face that I get in this animation, because his animation, it's perfect. They knocked out of the park. Keep doing it forward, please.
They did a great job with the animation. My only gripe is his height. I don't like him being short. I don't. I like Kurt to be Kurt and Remy should be the same height. Like, really. Like, they should be, like, that was, for me, that was like, I mean, maybe Remy might be an inch or two taller, but they were so disparate in height. It felt like the difference between like Remy and Logan, which for me, I feel like Logan is a very much a barometer of the height of the X-Men, because he's known for being so freaking short. So I don't like when they like, make other characters, like the point of Logan being short, it's part of the joke. He's this tiny little, like, that's why he's Wolverine. Wolverines are tiny little ferocious creatures. That's why he's a tiny little ferocious man. So that's why I don't love, I mean, granted, I'll accept the Hugh Jackman of it all, because fucking he was flawless as Wolverine for, you know, almost, guys, you guys want to understand something. We're going on almost, we're getting close to, we're over almost, this year is 25 years now that Logan, that Wolverine has, I'm sorry, that Hugh Jackman has been playing Wolverine. And he's coming out with a new movie as Wolverine. I just want to throw that out there, because that's fucking massive. I
mean, of course, this had to come. See, of course, this had to come back to Lisa's obsession with Hugh Jackman, and also calling Hugh Jackman and the word massive back to back. Like, I think Lisa just needed this moment, guys. This week. All right, girl. She really needed this.
Possibly. It is possible. But I do want to go back to the height of it all and say that that was my only gripe, is like, I like Kurt to be a little bit taller, but I'm going to give them a lot of leeway, because Kurt is a stupor. Kurt's like a he's a, you know, he kind of like bends over a lot, or he's, what's the word?
Yeah, he hunches a bit.
He's a sloucher. Thank you. He's a sloucher. So, I mean, maybe we just need to really see him stand up straight and he'll be a lot taller. Whatever. It doesn't look like that, but, you know, I can let go of that because everything else was so good. I just, as far as the voice, when you brought up the thing about the voice, it gave me this interesting memory. And I'm wondering if this is a case, what's going on with these voice actors. Cause I'm hearing a lot of people have like issues with the voice actors. And I find it crazy, because these are the same voice actors from the 90s. And granted, your voice changes over time. Like, no one's voice, a lot of people have said Rogue's voice especially is grating on them. And it's like, I get that, like, her voice doesn't sound exactly the way it did in 94, 95, whenever the show came out, right? Or 92, I don't know, whenever it was, early 90s. It doesn't sound exactly the same, because the woman who's doing the voice has had over 30 years now of life experience to change her and to age her. So it's not going to sound the same. However, there's another side to it. So when I was a kid, and I grew up in a little town on Long Island, and we had a movie come through and film in our town. And the movie was directed by Frank Oz. And for any of you out there who are unaffiliated with Frank Oz, I really encourage you to become affiliated, because he is the man who voiced Miss Piggy. He is the man who voiced Fozzie Bear. He is the man who voiced Yoda. And when he came to our school, and this is going to tell you guys how freaking old I am out there, if you already aren't aware. When he came to our school, I was a senior in high school, and he was just getting ready to reprise Yoda in episode one, The Phantom Menace. So he was just getting ready to reprise Yoda. And one of the things, I remember he did like a, he did like an assembly after school. Like he came and he sat and he talked to the school, and it was so cool because it was like, you know, I love Miss Piggy. I've always loved Miss Piggy. And so meeting Miss Piggy was the biggest thing. And of course, Yoda. One of the things though, we all were requesting him to do voices for us. And one person asked him to do Yoda. And he's like, listen, I'm so out of practice with Yoda that I can't just pull it out immediately. I'm working on it to come to do the movies again, but it's not something I can just pull out right now and do because I've been so out of practice for so long. So the reason I use this very long, you know, name dropping story where I have to tell everybody I met Frank Oz, is because some of these voice actors, you know, they've been so out of practice for so long. And granted, I'm sure they've worked hard to get to where they are now, but you know, they might need more time. And I'm going to say the same with Kurt's voice actor. It's just, you know, him especially, I mean, he only played Nightcrawler like twice or two or three times. It was it's such a minor role in the original show that if they're going to give him a bigger role, he's going to have to obviously get better set into the character because Nightcrawler was a very one-dimensional character in the original show. So there's that part. I do want to comment on one other thing about the relationship between Rogue and Nightcrawler, because in the original episode, in the original show, Rogue is aware that like, they're aware that they're siblings, but like, I don't know. It felt like they were more friends here, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, first with the voice thing, everything you said completely on point, like completely relevant and probably, you know, definitely something that's affecting it. But yeah, I mean, in general too, I think, what's interesting with the voice acting is, like, I think in the 90s show, like, Rogue's voice worked. And it wasn't, for me, it wasn't just, oh, like, yeah, it's been a while since she's done the voice. And I can, because I can differentiate, or I feel like I can, at least as a fan, I can say, yeah, this is just a little different because it's been a long time. And that's cool. Like, I'm not mad about it. And I'm not going to, you know, criticize the voice actor. It's all good. But I think a lot of, something else that's happening that people aren't talking about is the fact that some of these voices for these characters, and not all of them, but some of them worked really well in the 90s. And today, the same voices, no matter how well they're done, they don't work for these characters today. And that, to me, just speaks to how characters grow and how they're modernized by us as audiences over time, how we as audiences change our perspectives on characters and how we actually, quote, in a way, modernize characters ourselves. For example, like if you really love 90s Rogue and then you watch X-Men Evolution and you see that Rogue, if you're so attached to 90s Rogue, you're probably going to be like, what the fuck is this? I hate it. Or vice versa. If you love X-Men Evolution Rogue and then you watch 90s, you know, X-Men Rogue, you're probably going to be like, what the fuck is this? Absolutely not. So it just goes to how you see the character. And for me, I think that's kind of how I've always been with Kurt as a character. I don't even think I have an issue with, oh, it's been a while since this guy's voice Kurt. That's not, I think he sounds great vocal, you know, acting wise, vocally, technique wise, he sounds fine to me. I'm not criticizing that at all. It just, again, I don't think I've ever heard the perfect Kurt voice yet used for Nightcrawler, for any incantation of him. But that's also my weird image of him. I think I'm wrong. Like what I want for whatever reason as his voice, I don't even know what it is. And B, I think it's not who he is as a character. And that's girl. Okay. But yeah, girl, it's great time.
I know what your problem is. I know what your problem is. I'm going to say it. And okay. German listeners, be kind for a second. It's very hard to do a German accent and sound sexy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just the sexiness part, but to me, it is a German accent. I think we did an episode on this. Like, I really have a problem with the German accent, and I'm not saying it's right, and you can cancel me all you want all day, and I probably deserve it. It doesn't work for me. But again, it doesn't have to, right? I can be wrong. And I am wrong because it's who he is. It's been established since Giant Size X-Men 1. Like,
but I think, but here's there's the difference, right? Because there's reading a German accent on a page where really all you need to work around are a couple of jaws and achs and little idiosyncrasies. But then actually like hearing it, and here's the thing. I mean, the guy who's voicing him is not German. So it's not an authentic German accent. You know,
yeah.
You know, who has a fucking sexy German accent, but of course also is part German, is Michael Fassbender.
You know what? I'm going to take you up on this. After we record this, I'm going to go listen to some, like, watch some of his acting, listen to his voice with go a back German and accent and see. I'm going to do some research.
Oh, no, Michael Fassbender. I mean, go back and rewatch like the X-Men movies or Inglourious Bastards is a good one. Inglourious Bastards is really good. Mm-hmm. He's only in it for like 5 seconds.
I think you might be onto something with that though, because yeah, like his, and I didn't know that. I didn't know the voice actor because I haven't looked him up, to be honest. I didn't know he wasn't actually German, so that's not an authentic German accent. So that makes me feel a bit better, because that's one thing I'm like, this seems very over exaggerated, this accent, and that's what really kills me with it. It doesn't even seem natural. So anyways, I'm glad to hear this. I'm going to do research as you have recommended.
That's actually a really good point, because I feel like there are certain accents out there that, like, if not done truly authentically, can come off very cartoonish. And unfortunately, German kind of falls into that a little bit. And I mean, I'm thinking about every single person who's played Kurt in animation and in live action, and not a single German among them. Not even a fucking, not even close. The closest is Alan Cumming, and he's Scottish. So that gives you an idea of how close they got to German in having Nightcrawler be played by a German. But it's not like that's really that important, as long as you can do the, I mean, really the only reason Alan Cumming got the role was because he was on Broadway in Cabaret doing a German accent for like ever. So, and he has a great German accent, don't get me wrong. But the other thing I think, and you really hit this on the head as far as the voice actors, again, I appreciate the nostalgia of it, because really when it comes down to it, I was not terribly interested in this reboot, because I prefer X-Men Evolution. That's like my preferred cartoon. I watched X-Men the Animated Series when I was really young and I loved it, but it was very much of its time and it was very much for kids. However, this is not a kid's show. Right. X-Men 97 is not a kid's show. But what helped me to really get into it was when I heard those voices for the first time, it was like a flood of memories, just of those Saturday mornings with my brother, you know what I mean? Or those times when all of my cousins, we'd all get together and we'd play X-Men. We'd all choose, I always tell this stupid story. We'd always choose the X-Men we want to be. My one cousin would always want to be Xavier, which always felt like such a cop-out, because it's like, all you're going to do is sit in a chair. And then like my other two cousins, but like I'd have three cousins all wanting to be Gambit. It's like, you can't all be Gambit, but I would be able to be Gambit.
Listen, I love how no matter whatever we are talking about this episode, it keeps coming back to Gambit. And again, we are a Nightcrawler pod, and we have talked about Nightcrawler so much because he was in this ep, but we have to keep making room for his brother-in-law. We have to.
Absolutely. I love that you bring up the brother-in-law of it all, because I loved the moment where Kurt was like, just marry her. What the fuck's wrong with you? Marry her.
He's like, I'm your biggest shipper right now.
It's like, dude, it's the brother says okay. Like, literally, this is as close as a family, like, as a family, support you're going to get, because there's no one else. Mystique is somewhat dead. I don't know. I have a feeling.
Yeah, you're going to get Mystique. We don't know if Destiny's ever going to show up. So, like, you're not going to get anything else beyond
that. I mean, the fact that Mystique and Destiny have had such a big role in the Krakoa era, there's a 0% chance they're not going to show up. I think Val Cooper might be Mystique. I think there's a chance that
That's what a lot of people are saying. A lot of people are saying in this same episode, there was so much in this episode. I don't even know if we'll get to it all, to be honest. I feel like we won't do justice covering this episode, because there's so many different things, so many different perspectives. But one of the things people noticed was that at the little big gala thing or whatever with Genosha and Rogue and Magneto and stuff, people are pointing out that Val Cooper seemed particularly interested when Rogue showed up and was particularly looking at her and watching what she was doing with Magneto and stuff.
I also thought it very interesting. Now, Rogue makes mention about her evil mother, who's this weird blonde. Now, back in like the early 2000s, there was like a Rogue story that came out. I have it collected somewhere in like a trade paperback or something. It's not great. I don't even know why I bought it, but it was during the heyday of my early 20s when I was super into buying all the comics ever. And it was like about her, like it's all about her origin, but being like a child of humans, and but her mother was had some kind of crazy powers. It was weird. I didn't love it. And I'm wondering if they're referencing that, which I think would be a really odd thing to go with because of how much we've been dealing with the Darkholm Adler family recently in comics, or if they purposefully made Mystique look like this blonde chick to draw the comparison between her being Val Cooper.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about that. It's definitely possible. That's also one thing I'm really enjoying about this show is that they are really embracing the anything is possible, any perspective, any person, anything you like. They're really taking this like actual comic books, but to show. And I know this is going a little bit broader, but like you were saying it earlier, this is not a kid's show. People keep saying about this show, but I want people to go a step further with this. Of course, it's not a kid's show, right? This is proving further what I wish we would have realized decades ago, but we haven't, which is animation is a medium, right? There's animation that's used for children. There's animation for adults. And then the majority of animation, just like live action, right? Which, by the way, isn't a genre. It's a medium. People keep acting like animation is a genre. It's not. It's a medium, okay? Mm-hmm. And most things that are made under the live action and the animation mediums, they're intended to reach both audiences, but to different degrees and under different intentions, of course, right? And I can't wait to see how younger generations, like even younger than me, because I'm 28, so I'm getting to that I'm old as fuck status, apparently. Girl. Listen, you because you're older than me, you'll see it, but like people that are like, you know, 31, 32, they're like, yeah, you're getting old now, join the club. But yeah, like it's just, I'm sorry,
any 31, 32 year old telling you you're old, go fuck themselves. All right, that is bullshit. Come on. I'm 41 and I'm not old, all right?
Fucking facts. But yeah, like I wish we'd stop saying, oh my god, I can't believe it, it's not a kid show. Like, you're right. And let's also go a step further and be like, animation is a medium, like, and this is showing how good like fantastical sci-fi superhero stuff is in animation. It's the best medium for it because you have far less limitations. Live action, you have so many more limitations. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, at this point I'm not even sure I want to see more X-Men in the MCU because it's gonna hurt when it's not as good as this damn animated series. It's so fucking good. They have the right medium. They had great writers. They had a great showrunner. Don't know what happened with that, by the way. We're all confused on that front, why this person that created the show ran it and all this stuff got fired. We still don't know what happened with that.
I mean, it doesn't bode well for things, but we'll see. Hopefully it's not.
It doesn't bode well for anything. And so it makes me nervous going forward with the next season after this, because I'm like, this has been so good, and I'm positive the rest of the season will be good. Based on that, the showrunner and head writer wrote it, and then, but now that they're fired, who's going to take it up? Who's going to match this or exceed it? I don't know. But anyways, animation's important, guys. We need to take it seriously. It's a medium. It's not a genre. Thank you.
And yes, thank you for coming to her TED Talk, everybody. So
Lisa's so, like, leave the ones here and leave.
So I want to touch on what you were saying about, oh my God. I'm sorry. Give me 2 seconds. I just had like a weird thing. Oh yes. Okay.
It's okay.
I want to talk about what you were saying.
We'll just say dead Charles Xavier possessed you for a second.
He did. Dead Charles Xavier possessed me. And you know what? He didn't do anything. He didn't make my life better in any fucking way. Surprise, surprise. I want to touch on what you were saying about the MCU, because I'm watching this cartoon, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking to myself, I don't need live action X-Men. I don't need it. I would give up all the X-Men movies that they have planned or whatever they're going to do for a fully fledged like cartoon universe. Give me several. Give me many, many cartoons, many. But all right, but we're getting kind of late. We're running kind of late on this. I want to touch on a couple of things in the episode. Number one, Scott Summers breaking my heart again with the interview with Trish Tilby and about Nathan, because that was where I started crying this episode and I didn't stop until the end. But that was heartbreaking, just that moment. And all right, guys, you're going to go on a journey with me right now. Just you're going on a journey. So fucking buckle up, because I see. Okay, guys, I see Nocturne everywhere. I see Nocturne in everything and everywhere. Okay, guys, I do. And
it's happening, everyone. It's happening.
I'm sorry. There are several Nocturne things in this episode I'm bringing up, guys. I'm going to do it. I see Nocturne everywhere. Number one, Scott Summers having slightly an evil turn, or what looks like could become an evil turn, literally is what happens in Nocturne's homeworld. He becomes evil and becomes head of the Brotherhood. And that moment when he's having that interview with Trish Tilby, and this is me, we're separating from the Nocturne thing now, but that moment where he's having that interview with Trish Tilby and he's basically like, we save you all the time. Like, all we do is fucking save your lives, and you can't even like deliver my child. You can't even, like, all we do is risk our lives for you. And I was like, oh God, yes. Like, Scott, this is the kind of Scott Summers I should have seen for the whole time. But yeah, that was incredibly powerful. I mean, we already went over all the Kurt stuff, basically. You know, Magneto having his flashbacks to the Holocaust. And then, oh my God, I'm going to cry now. Telling Leech not to be afraid was, in German, was like, again, bawling the whole time. And then
that broke my damn heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to the.
Sorry. I just wanted to add, there's a tweet I saw that really touched on that a bit more. And I didn't think about it because I'm, you know, not well versed in like any fucking foreign language. But somebody on Twitter at rgermanix said, you know, that him saying "have no fear" in German was a nice touch, especially because multilingual folks will default to their first language under stress and fatigue. And I was just like, holy shit! I didn't even think about that, like, significance with that specifically. Oh my God.
Absolutely. I mean, I kind of picked up on that. He was definitely not in his time in the moment. Like, he was definitely kind of existing in both times because he had kind of broken at that point. Like, you know, and it is very common for people, especially like my grandfather, when he would had Alzheimer's, he would speak Italian all the time, and he never spoke Italian ever until then. So, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, it's just these little details that they're getting so right. And now we got to talk about Gambit.
We do.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to say our goodbyes. Oh my God. There he lies. Sorry, I got to stop singing Rent. Okay. I guess I'm taking Rent poorly. How about? It was so perfect and so heartbreaking.
It was. Well, one, before we even get to his actual death, somebody tweeted this out as well. And I wanted to point out too, at Jim Woe said that everybody's rightfully devastated by episode 5. But don't sit on the fact that Gambit proved a shining example of non-toxic, mature masculinity when he graciously accepted Rogue's decision with regards to Magneto and chooses to remain her friend. And I love that. And I did read the comments, of course, because I'm interested of what people would think to that tweet. And some people pointed out, like, oh, but he's still not happy when he sees Magneto and Rogue together. I'm like, well, of course he's not happy, right? He has emotions. That's the thing. Like, we can't control our emotions. We can't control how we feel or what we feel. We control how we react. And rather than throwing a fit, yelling and screaming, trying to fat Magneto right then and there, he walked away with these emotions, right? And sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Even when Rogue, you know, basically took his heart and stomped on it in front of him. I mean, one of the lines, there was a particular line and she said when she was talking to Gambit that I was just like, oh my God, that would break me if like the person that I love so much and was sticking my neck out for and really wanted the best for said that to me, because Gambit, you light up everything you touch, but never me. Yeah. And I was just like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? That's devastating. And he just said, you know what? You're going to do you, and you're probably going to crash and burn. I don't mean that menacingly. I mean that as a genuine warning, and we're going to be friends. And that's that. Mm-hmm. And that was brilliant.
I totally agree. The emotional intelligence shown by Gambit was really incredible. And yeah, he has every right to be upset. I mean, you know, he just because Rogue has not chosen him and he is okay with the fact, just because he accepts that Rogue didn't choose him doesn't mean that he can't be upset about it. You know what I mean? Like, he can still be devastated by the fact that he loves her. and but still have the maturity to understand that she's a human being with her own autonomy who can make her own decisions. So, you know, it doesn't matter how upset it makes him. He understands that, like, yeah, he has his emotions are his to deal with and her emotions are hers to deal with. And so that I thought was, yeah, I agree. That was amazingly emotionally intelligent and amazingly, like, mature. And I'm going to go back to a Nocturne thing, guys.
I love it.
The way he gave his life, the way he sacrificed himself. Oh my God. Did it give me, like, did it bring me right back to Exiles when Thunderbird sacrificed himself?
Yeah.
I mean, I might be crazy, but, like, it was very, like, he sacrificed it. Like, really, when it comes down to it, he did it for mutants. He did it for the Morlocks, but really he did it for Rogue, because mm-hmm. he got yeah. involved when Rogue was going at the Sentinel. And then he put himself in between her and the Sentinel, basically. So,
yeah. I mean, that shot too, when Rogue, like, after what happened with Magneto and the ones he was trying to protect and failed, which that in of itself is absolutely heartbreak. Like, there's so many, like, just, I guess, smaller things, like, by themselves that are just devastatingly heartbreaking with this episode. But that shot of seeing how pissed Rogue is and how heartbroken and upset she is, and she's right about to go fly that Sentinel, that one shot, oh, so good. So good.
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. And then, but the way Gambit takes the Sentinel down is, and again, I see the parallels to the Thunderbird one, because in each opportunity, they were the only ones who would be able to do it the way they did it. You know what I mean? Like, the way that they did it, and the way he uses his powers, and he's like, at the end, he's like, name's Gambit, mon ami, and it's just like, fuck. And then,
yeah, and he says, remember it, which that was actually a line in the old show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the name of the title, was Remember It. And, yeah. As you know, as oh my God, okay, as you know, the term remember it or remember, that's a term that's very loaded in big things that happen. You know, they talk about the Holocaust, you remember the Holocaust, you remember 9/11. Whew, that's why I'm getting all emotional. But in this case, I thought, it's kind of funny, because on the first time I watched it, the remember it didn't hit me as hard, because I thought the remember it was about Genosha. But then it was like, no, it was about Remy. And it's like, oh my God, it hit me so hard. And then the end.
Yeah, that was, I watched the episode with my boyfriend when we first watched it, and we were watching it, and I remember distinctly when I saw Rogue holding Gambit like that, and you just heard, which this is like, nobody can shout in the Rogue actor. I don't care what you say. Like, the voice actor, you cannot like the voice and all that stuff, that's fine, but you cannot shit on her talent, because she was absolutely brilliant, that voice actress, and how she did that, how she did the crying sounds, they perfectly matched the animation, the mood, and what had happened. And when she cries and she says that term of demon to him, and then she goes, I can't feel you. But as she says, I can't feel you, it goes black, and then sits black for a few more seconds, and the credits roll. And I remember my boyfriend and I watching it, and I was completely silent, because I was devastated. And in my head, I was literally thinking, they're going to end this. They want me to be devastated right now. They're going to cut right there. And they did. And then my boyfriend just yelled out, they can't do that. They can't just stop it there. And I was like, you're so right. And also, this is completely brilliant by the writers, because they don't have the intention to leave us devastated and then bring us back up at this point. They want us to be devastated for at least an entire week until the new episode comes out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is terrible and brilliant. I love it.
So the one saving grace we have here is that we saw Cable. So there's the opportunity. Yep. The opportunity exists for everything to change. Moira was also there. And again, Moira is a human. I'm doing the little quotey things. Doing the little Cody thing in the show. Dude. But again, we don't really know. And what I found, okay, so I was watching this very carefully, because I remember Moira was spending a lot of time with Banshee, but Banshee got vaporized at the end, but he was not with Moira when he got vaporized. He was with Marrow.
Right.
So we don't know. I think I want to say the showrunner might have said that Moira died, but I don't remember. I know he was like saying all these people died, but I was like, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, it's X-Men. Nobody's fucking dead for long. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, they had the time travel, like you said, and And they mentioned Moira. I remember a couple things that I've seen. One, when I heard Moira speak, I forget what her actual accent is supposed to be because I just forget she has that accent. And so when I heard the voice for her, I nearly lost it. And I was like, I'm a terrible person, but I can't take her seriously right now because I can't, particularly with how she is with the Krakoan era in the comics and how like fucking like basically evil she gets. And then that voice, I couldn't take it seriously. No hate to the voice actor at all. I just forgot she had that accent as a character and it made me lose my mind. And then also in that scene, Emma Frost and the ice building up in the glass, they're totally hinting at her second mutation. I love that.
Yeah. About Moira, like that was a really bad Scottish accent. I'm just going to say it. I mean, if the person who did the accent was actually Scottish, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. It was just a bad accent. But honestly,
I really said no hate. And Lisa said, actually, Lauren, we need to hate.
No. Sometimes we need to hate. Gambit died, guys. Okay. Gambit died. So this is the thing about 90s cartoons in general, 80s and 90s cartoons. Like they're all made in America by Americans who don't know what these fucking accents actually sound like normally. So it's fine. So I desperately need to talk about the final line of the series.
Yes.
Of the episode.
I know you do. Please do.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is going to be, let's talk about Nocturne again, guys. Not actually talking about Nocturne in this case. This is talking about how Marvel loves to fucking tease me. And I don't understand it. Because you introduce Kurt in the exact same episode you reference Wanda. I mean, guys, what are you doing to me? Because you cannot tell me for a second that that was not an intentional callback to WandaVision.
I do believe... I totally see it being an intentional callback, or at least say, hey, that line worked in that scene. It also works here. I do think it was intentional, but it was brilliant. And to be fair, like, this is how, yeah, I forgot the WandaVision one. And Lisa, you know, texted me and was like, you remember the WandaVision reference? I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, that line was WandaVision. I was like, oh, damn, you're right. Oops.
I think for me, what makes it so clearly that it was an awkward thing for Rogue to say, but it was word for word exactly what Wanda said.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for me, her saying it, even without being like, that's the difference. Because, I mean, that, like, here's the thing. The most heartbreaking thing about that to me is that she actually can touch him for the first time and not hurt him, which is great, but it's because he's dead. I mean, that's devastating on every, there's no way you can look at that not devastating.
And you know, they subtly set up that whole thing when
they did.
They subtly set up that whole thing when Rogue runs up to Kurt to try and see if he's alive. And she notices that she's not wearing any gloves and she can't touch anybody. Mm. And so at the end, when she's like, just has her whole body wrapped around Remy and without the gloves and everything, it's just, you know, it felt like they made a very specific point to point out, oh, I'm not wearing gloves, I can't touch anybody, so that when she's actually holding him, it like makes it all the more like, oh my god, this is real.
Yeah, I think too, like, I mean, that shows a good point. Like, she was, even though she was worried and scared for Kurt and cared about him, obviously, she was able to catch herself and stop her panic and go, crap, I don't have gloves, even though I'm worried, I want to make sure he's alive, I can't do it. But she was so worried and so, like, just, oh my god, Gambit could be dead. She couldn't help herself. She had to touch him.
Yes. And I want to point out, too, going back to the Kurt part, you know, she was there, and she was there, and she was distressed, and she wanted to help her friend, but she couldn't. But who was there right behind her to help? Wasn't Magneto. Yep. Wasn't Magneto. Mm-hmm. It's Gambit. See? Nice guys don't win, guys. Nice guys don't win. Go to Reddit. Women suck.
Shut the fuck up. Somebody on Twitter also said something that I hadn't thought about in that specific way until they worded it. That's what I love about this episode, too, and talking about it, is that people are just finding all different kinds of little perspectives to spin something and make it more heartbreaking. And I know I sound terrible for that, but this is good content, guys. This is the good kind of drama and heartbreak and devastation, because it's written well, it's executed incredibly well. I can't remember the last time I like had this great level of it, I guess. And so, but they were basically like, yeah, so you know, Gambit died never knowing that Rogue chose him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, but he still did the right thing. And it's just like, if you guys say nice guys don't win, shut the fuck up. They do, because Gambit's going to come back at some point. Him and Rogue are going to be great. All right. It's going to take time. It's going to take Cable. It's going to take time travel. All right. It's going to be okay. But man, he went out in the most badass, like, fucking way Gambit ever could. Like, that he is, did. I've never been like a big Gambit fan. I've never hated him. I thought he was cool, but I've never been like all over him. But when I saw that, I was like, I have the utmost fucking respect. That whole episode, I was like, Gambit is the man. He has never looked better, ever. Yeah.
Gambit is one of the only X-Men I have figures of other than Nightcrawler and Wanda and these little random Nocturnes I have. Yeah, it's only like, oh, and I have a tiny little Deadpool that I got for free in a movie, but I don't fucking count that. It was free. He was, I want to also point out that he got his retribution for the Morlocks. Like, he got his because in the comics he's the reason for the Morlock massacre, you know what I mean? And in this in this cartoon, he's the one who helped save them, and that was beautiful as well. That was just wonderful. Yeah. So
it absolutely was. And we haven't even talked about the soap opera drama, the standard to the X-Men. If you've been here, you know it, with Logan and Cyclops and Madeline.
Oh my god,
Jean. And they didn't even throw in the stuff with Emma yet, guys. I mean, people complain about the soap opera drama, and I agree with every tweet I've seen that's like, if you can't handle the soap opera shit, the X-Men fandom is not for you at all.
I mean, Kurt even said it in this episode. He was like, you fucking Americans and your soap operas, always with the drama. And he's right. Yep. He's absolutely fucking right.
Yes.
And he's right there in it. All right, bitch, don't complain. You're part of it. All right. Don't be a bitch.
Yep. And we haven't even the last thing I really wanted to mention with this episode was when the Genosha horrific shit was happening, the Watcher was in the sky. There's an outline of the Watcher.
Yes.
So how do we feel about that? I mean, because on the one hand, I think bringing the Watcher into it is really fucking cool, because I've always been a fan of the Watcher. I think he's a, you know, Uatu specifically, of course, is the Watcher. I think he's incredibly fascinating. I think what he does and that, you know, that gray area he walks, even though it's very fascinating to me, his perspective and how he has to navigate himself and what choices he has to make. But I'm also not really wanting this to connect to the MCU. So I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is going to connect to the MCU, because it's going to be very hard to, I mean, just as far as genre wise, or, you know, it's just, or, you know, medium wise, it's hard to mix that stuff unless we want some fucking Roger Rabbit shit. And I'm not interested in that, honestly. I just don't need Chris Hemsworth Thor hanging around with cartoon Magneto. This isn't Son of Zorn. Which, if you haven't seen Son of Zorn, anybody out there, it is a really random, stupid show that is actually quite amazing. But yeah, I mean, I agree with the Watcher being there. That clearly signals that something big has happened, and that, you know, this is something important. And I'm kind of sad we got so little of Genosha, because Genosha has always been one of my favorite parts of X-Men lore. I love Genosha, and I'm kind of sad we didn't get more of it. But, you know, I feel like they're speed running to Krakoa. I feel like, I don't think it's going to be this season. I don't even think it's going to be next season. But I feel like they're trying to get themselves to Krakoa. And I think that they're trying to get through a lot of the big stories, but without making them big stories.
So I agree. Right now, ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. We just did E for Extinction, basically, right? And
yes. Yep.
You know what's coming in a couple of years? From E from Extinction. You know what happens a couple years after that?
Tell us.
House of M.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know how I feel about going to that event, but it could happen. Here's the thing. We just went through one extinction, basically. We don't need to go to a decimation that soon. Like, that needs to wait, like, till, like, season 5 or 6. But the good news, guys, is that X-Men 97 has been renewed up through season 3 already. So that's the fantastic news.
So I want to point out about the House of M thing. Number one, if they were to do it, I think they would change it. Similarly to how they changed the whole Morlock massacre situation with Remy, and they turned it into him being the hero. they could definitely change the House of M to make it something else. The other thing is, and I've said this several times, I truly believe that the MCU has done House of M already, and that was WandaVision. I really think that that was their version of House of M. Because
no, I agree.
It's just... And the thing is like, it's an incredibly watered down House of M that takes almost all of the most important aspects out of it and really just leaves Wanda's story. But like, it would be really hard to tell that story again because it's almost identical to what she did in WandaVision. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. She didn't decimate a population, but like the whole like changing reality, it's just like, it would feel like the same story again. It wouldn't feel fresh. So yeah, if they were to do something like that, it would have to be something significantly different or interesting, because like I said, I think WandaVision is incredibly, somehow they managed to do House of M without mutants, but you know, that's Disney for you.
No, I agree with that. I think they need to, I don't think you need to do House of M. I think you need to leave that show alone. Like you said, you've basically already done it. You just did a watered down, terrible version of it, just like the Civil War movie. But anyways,
I've got a great idea. They do House of W. And basically what it is Wanda's at a bar and Kurt shows up and he's like, I think I know you. Do you want to get a drink? And then they hook up and they have babies.
Oh, no. See, if you do House of W or House of D, but anyways, like Darkholm, then you got Mystique and Destiny fucking shit up. You could pull that shit off with that family and Mystique and Destiny at the helm of fucking ship like Magneto did for his family. Oh, you can do shit with that. You can definitely do some stuff.
Girl, I've got a question for you. So we have seen how Destiny is as a mother-in-law to Gambit. How do you think she'd be as a mother-in-law to Wanda?
Well, considering if House of M is still canon, that it happened at least, she's going to hate Scarlet Witch's guts. She's going to hate Wanda's ass for hurting mutants as she did. And she's never going to let that shit go because Destiny and Mystique, their goal is to, you know, we've seen it, especially now with, you know, Seth and Moral X-Men and see more of their past. They both still believe they're protecting mutants, and Destiny at an even higher level than Mystique. Destiny really sees the big picture with her visions and stuff. So Destiny's going to fucking kill her ass. Gambit's a nuisance to Destiny. Wanda is a fucking problem.
See, I disagree only because Wanda is so immensely powerful that I see Destiny acting. Okay, do you watch Rick and Morty? Have you ever watched Rick and Morty?
Technically, I've seen bits of it, but I didn't care for it. Okay, but I haven't seen enough to like actually say I've really watched it. So no, not really.
Okay, it's very much an acquired taste by certain people, and I enjoy it, but I'm not a Rick and Morty fan. Please don't get me in with those Szechuan sauce people. like, there was an episode of Rick and Morty where Morty saw into the future, and he saw like he was with his crush forever, and then everything he would do in his day would either make him go closer to his crush or further away from his crush. And so he kept on doing things as random and as weird as they might be, as long as he saw in his future he was with his crush. And I could see Irene being like, I gotta watch this bitch. And just like every kind of movement she does is like, I gotta make sure I don't fucking piss this bitch off, because goddamn my fucking son has to bring this bitch into our lives. And if she is pissed off, she's going to decimate us all. See, and Kurt's just like, I love her, Mom. I love her.
See, I agree with the perspective that Destiny, she wouldn't go on the full offensive because she's not stupid, but she's going to be very careful with Wanda. Oh, yeah, but at the same time, the perspective you're painting, I disagree with, because Destiny is very, she's willing to sacrifice a lot. She's willing to lie. She's willing to hurt the person she loves the most in the entire universe for all time, which she has done. We've seen that. And you've made quite the case for that as well, and why that's in character for her. So going along those lines, it doesn't make sense to me that she's going to be like, oh, well, I'm basically scared of Wanda too much. She's too powerful. I'm just never going to piss her off. Destiny's personality is not like that. If she has to do what she needs to do, her and Mystique are like that. If they have to do something, they have to, and they believe they're justified, they're doing it. They don't care how fucking powerful you are. They don't care who you are. In fact, they see that as even more reason to do it. Oh, you're too powerful. I have to stop you. So I don't think you're like completely wrong, but I do disagree with, she would just sit there and like, no, Destiny's not like that. She does not sit still. And that's part of the reason why Mystique loves her. So
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. The part of me is just like, I see Kurt just being like so lovesick, and Destiny being like, oh, fuck. All right, now I got to watch this bitch and make sure she doesn't fucking kill us all. But
I mean, I could see that a bit too. But again, the second that Wanda is a problem or Destiny thinks it, it's over. Like, there, by the way, there's a problem to finish.
Sadly, you can't see me right now, but I'm wearing my Wanda tiara.
I love that for you. I love it.
I was just sitting next to me and I'm like, I'm going to put this fucking on. And it finally got it on. Yeah. It fit really well. I must have lost some weight or something because it fits.
Amazing. Yeah. Lisa's camera is being garbage. So she can see me, but I can't see her, guys. So again, this is unfair to me specifically.
Only wearing a Wanda.
Lisa has the upper edge on me again.
I mean,
I think upper hand is what I meant. If I said edge, it's too late. Sorry, guys.
It's fine. It's fine. It's, I got, I listen, I'm always edging when I'm with you, girl.
What the fuck? Put that on a t- yeah,
I think officially the episode's over. I feel
thank
like
you guys for tuning in and listening to us go in circles about everything that happened this set, because as I'm sure many of you all agree, so much happened in that episode. There's no linear way or order to talk about the episode. There's just no way. You can't do that.
No, as we're closing up, I'm thinking about things I still want to talk about, but it's like, we just can't keep your attention for that long. We're sorry, guys. I have ADHD too, and I would be upset too if I kept going on this long. So, I mean, it was a beautiful episode. I'm so impressed by this show. I'm unbelievably impressed by this show. And it's just, agreed. It's everything I've ever wanted in an X-Men media. It's just, it's so good. And I know a lot of people have said, you know, oh wow, they really speed run through Inferno. They really are working, but you know what? We've seen Inferno. Inferno's been done. Like, if you really want all the details in Inferno, go read it. It's there. It exists. There are omnibuses. So we don't need to tell the exact same story again, but we do need to tell certain stories in order to get to where the writers are trying to get. So I don't mind them speed running through certain things, because again, Inferno would be an entire, like that would be an entire, if we wanted to go through Inferno, it would be an entire season worth of story. And no, thank you.
Well, I agree. And listen, I think they've done such a great job already of taking stories and actually adapting them, right? A lot of people don't understand what adapting a story means. It means you take the story, you take all the core elements of it that are most important for all the themes and all the major things, right? You take those and then you tweak the details as you wish to, like you said, get to another place you're trying to get to. They did that for Eve for Extinction, right? Well, this episode. There are things they kept, but they tweaked. Like, for example, the psychic mind shit, change it from Emma and Scott to Madeline and Scott. And that works based on what happened in episode 3 with the little Inferno stuff they did in Madeline and Scott. So they're making it work for the show. They're taking iconic storylines, taking the important stuff from them, keeping that important shit, and then they're tweaking the details to make it work with the actual story they are telling too. It's brilliant, and I hope they keep it up.
I agree. And I really hope that we get to a point where we get new stories. And it's nothing to say that I don't like to see classic X-Men stories told, but I mean, let's be real. How many times do we need to see the Dark Phoenix? I mean, we've seen it. It's not worked 90% of the time. Like the beauty of this media is that it's a living being. It's not, you know, it's not a work of Shakespeare where it's like Romeo and Juliet ends and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And that's all the story there is to tell. This is a living thing that evolves and can be added to, can be subtracted from, and will never be the same. And that's what's beautiful about serial storytelling, is that there's just unlimited possibilities. So I really don't want them to feel like they have to stick to what has already been done. I really want to see them go wild. And they're already starting to, you know, do their own thing. But I think it's one of those, I could see them doing that. I can see what they're doing now as like, kind of testing the waters with the audience and saying, hey guys, we are going to change things and just come along for the ride. And let me tell you, I'm here for it. I'm for the ride. So
same.
I'm in. Well, we are going to be enjoying this all the way up until it's over. And then Gail Simone starts writing our boy in September. God bless. So this is 2024 is the year of Kurt. What is this? What is our Chinese zodiac this year? Let me see if it's
somebody was talking about it. I was talking about, like, I think a week or two ago, but...
Oh, the dragon! Oh, girl! Yes, the year of the dragon with the element of wood. Okay. You got some wood
Kurt with
there,
that
girl.
Dragon tail. Anyways, no one at me.
I'm just saying, it's the year of the dragon. It's okay, I like this. This marks the start of the year of the wood dragon. So he's a dragon with wood.
I love it.
I love it. I'm all about it. We're going to do it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
A freaking men. Well, guys, thank you again so much for joining us for another very emotional episode of Simply Amazing. I kind of wish we had a sad version of our, like they played a sad version of the X-Men theme at the end of just the like episode.
Sad, slow trumpets with an organ like, in just the background. A sad
version of our theme. I wish we had one. That would be so funny, but like that's too much work. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming and enjoying and listening. And yeah, it's, I have no words. I mean, this episode was absolute perfection. I'm so glad to see our boy. I can't wait to see them do more. I can't wait to see everything else they're going to introduce. And you know, just a total like random aside, I'm just going to start throwing this into episodes, make Maximoff's mutants again, 2024. That's my campaign for 2024. Make Maximoff's mutants again. Oh my God. Too many M's.
I support it.
Ma. That's it. Ma. Lady Gaga is on it.
Yes.
Make
See, Maximoff's now it's going to happen. Cause you got the Gaga See? Involved.
Exactly. Make Maximoff's mutants again. Ma. I mean,
remix.
Okay, that might be too many M's, but whatever. I'm sticking it. I'm taking it. Lady Gaga's in. She also agrees. Make Maximoff mutants again. Lauren, where can they find you? Tell them everything.
You can find me everywhere at Friendly MBHDBI, or just you know, scream to the heavens. Something about Kurt or Supergirl. I'll hear you. So.
Yeah, basically, as long as if you bamf in the right direction, like it's like Mecca, like Lauren knows, she knows, she's always,
I'm like another one, another bamf to fuel me today. Yes,
that's it. It's like, you know, Batman has the bat signal and Lauren has the bamf signal.
Yes,
it doesn't smell very good. Batman's bat smoker, it smells a lot better than the bamf signal.
Nobody cares. I don't fucking care, Bruce. Sorry, Bruce. I love you, but also shut up.
You are so anti-Batman that I'm afraid to come out as a Bat fan.
Listen, I say that stuff, but I still, like, I get the Black Label Batman books because they're great stories. I'm not against great storytelling. I'm just against somebody having a monopoly on storytelling, and not every story is, like, you know, it takes away from other people's stories. I don't want stories to take away from other stories being told.
I get
just
it.
Don't take away from other stories being told. That's it.
No, I totally get it. And you know, I mean, listen, being an X-Men fan for as long, you know, Wolverine was that for a very long time. So
no, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like because the first X-Men I loved was Wolverine, Logan, straight up. Like, I'm not gonna act like I was any like way cooler than anybody else. He was my favorite. And then eventually I, you know, switched to Kurt when I was younger. He got more of my attention. So, but yeah, listen, I'm a slut for Bruce Wayne just as anybody. I got the uncensored versions of Batman Damned off eBay because of what is in issue one. So again, I shit on Bruce, but we love Bruce. That's why he's there.
Fair. Technically, I'm actually more of a Rogues Gallery fan than the Bruce fan itself. Bruce is like there, but I prefer all the characters around Bruce.
What Batman villain are you horny for? Oh, Lisa, what the fuck? We're trying to wrap this up and now you just dropped that bombshell on me.
I mean, I have an enormous collection of Catwoman trade paperbacks from the early 2000s.
You're the straight one, Lisa. What the fuck?
Okay, show me a sexy male Batman villain and I'll show you a freaking fairy that doesn't exist on a unicorn.
Listen, you're not wrong. I am just half shocked and also half like, I'm right. No, I know.
Here's the thing about me that you wouldn't realize as a Nightcrawler fan. I'm a fan of Rogues. I love a questionable moral character. And that's why I love Selina Kyle, because she is, and that's another reason, that's why I love Gambit too. Both specifically early Gambit before he became like super, super X-Men Gambit. But like, I love a character who's in it for themselves. That's why I love Mystique. I love a character who's like, you know, they're on the right side when the right side is on their side.
Yeah, I do too. I just love that. I was like, what Batman villain are you horny for? And you're instantly like Catwoman, just like the rest of us. You're so right. I love it. I think that's a great way to wrap this episode up.
I know, we really have to wrap it up. I have that whole series from the early 2000s where like she has a baby and it's a whole, oh my God, it's a whole thing. That's also very emotional. Why am I bringing up so many emotional? Okay, guys, enough. Done. We're done. End of the episode. Thanks for coming, guys.
Cut herself off.
Yeah, seriously. I'm just like, I can't believe I'm getting into more bullshit that's going to make me cry. So welcome. Thank you guys all. Welcome. Oh my God. Thank you guys for coming and joining us on simplyamazing.com.
No, wait, it's actually simplyamazingpod.com. Thank you guys all so much for coming and joining us. It has been a wonderful time talking about our dearly departed friend, Remy LeBeau, RIP. If you want to send flowers, you can send them to my house because I never get flowers because nobody loves me. And if you want to, you know, say a prayer, you can say a prayer for me because I need it and Remy is fake. Yeah, but anyway, I don't know what. Lauren is like, I'm trying to end this so hard and you keep talking.
Anyway, I'm just having a great time because she goes to the NPR voice and then says shit like that.
I like NPR voice. We should do a whole episode on it. We should We should do a news episode of us as newscasters doing X-Men news. How fun would that be? Breaking news.
I've done something like that in the past. I can do a news anchor, but I can't be like NPR. I have to be like over exaggerated. And flamboyant. That's the acting I'll do.
Yeah, you get to be the newscaster at the desk, and I am the opinion and the NPR. So it's like breaking news, going over to opinion to talk about what happened in Genosha. Lisa, what is going on?
Well, actually, Lauren, we are here on the grounds of Genosha, and it is horrifying everywhere we look. Just patterns mixed. I mean, these mutants don't know how to dress. I don't know what to say about it. Plaids with polka dots.
See, I don't know. I wouldn't be the other news reporter that's on site that just runs behind you as you're talking normally, level like that, just screaming, "Everything is terrible! Get the cameras and follow me! Oh my God!"
That's true. That's true. By the way, we just watched Mars Attacks last night. If you're out there listening and you're not in our Nightcrawler Discord, then you're missing out because we're doing movie nights. And last night we watched Mars Attacks and that was amazing. Just talking about things getting destroyed and newscasters and stuff. That was a lot of fun. So please come join us for that. That's one little thing. And yeah, we brought up this whole newscaster thing just so I could like segue into that. We had a plan. It wasn't like we just were doing the newscaster thing and then suddenly I was like, let me segue into something important that makes sense. No, no, no. We had a plan this whole time. Right, Lauren? We had a plan.
Yeah, always. Always.
Always. Always had a plan. Exactly. So, yeah. So come join us on the Nightcrawler Discord where we, you know, watch movies. We have movie nights all the time. It is Saturday right now. You're listening to it on Wednesday, so it's already over. But tonight we're watching Independence Day. And we're going to be voting this week on the movies we're going to watch next week. So please join us there. You can find all of our links to everything at simplyamazingpod.com. That's simplyamazingpod.com. We've also got t-shirts for sale and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you want to, you know, be simply amazing, maybe we'll make something for Remy, RIP. I don't know. I'm so depressed about it. It's just, you know, too much. But yeah, so find us where you want to find us. Lauren, they can find you everywhere to, you know, you can make smoke signals, BAMF signals. Find Lauren. Find me.
Yeah.
simplyamazingpod.com again is the website. I'm sorry I'm going in circles. I'm just feeling like so emotional still about this whole thing. But if you are also out there and you're feeling very emotional about what you saw, well, let me tell you, there's one thing I can prescribe to help you with the emotions that you're going through, and that's listening to simplyamazing.com, because you are just simply amazing.